angel is answering Mary. Mary has been told that she is going to conceive in her womb and bring forth a son. And so she's asking about how that can be, and the angel is answering, and he said in verse 35, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." I want you to consider with me for a few moments the last four words of verse 36. Who was called barren. Elizabeth was called barren. And I want you to think of three words tonight that ought to describe Elizabeth in her state of barrenness. The first word I would give you is the word misery. Misery. Times have changed in the world in which we live. Attitudes are different than they used to be. But it was so for much of humanity's existence that to be a woman was to be a mother. God made the woman to want to bear children. That's God's plan. If you go back and carefully consider the book of Genesis, you know that God made everything to produce or reproduce or multiply after its kind. And he did so with the human race as well. God wants us. He said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." It is a natural desire, or should be a natural desire, and I believe is a natural desire given by God to mankind to reproduce, to multiply upon the earth. In Elizabeth's day, there was something even more at play. Because every Jewish girl was familiar with the promise of Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman would be the Messiah, would be the conquering king and defeat the enemy and deliver the people. And so within their bosom was born this desire, this longing, this hope, this hunger to give birth to the one who might be used of God, anointed of God, to make a difference in the world. The hope of giving birth to a son who might be the promised Messiah. From the book of Genesis on, we read of women who were barren, who could not bear children. They were not happy with that condition. Now, that's not to say that all of them were the same in their biblical description as far as their approach to their barrenness, but they wanted to bear children. We read of Sarah, Abraham's wife, that she was barren in Genesis chapter 11. We read of Rebekah, Isaac's wife, that she was barren. We read of Rachel, Jacob's wife, that she was barren. Her womb was closed, and she could not give birth to children. Manoah's wife, that the mother of Samson, was a barren woman. And Hannah, the mother of Samuel, was barren. And now, of course, we find Elizabeth here in the New Testament. Though not all of them have words recorded like Rachel's, Rachel expresses in these words what many of them felt like in their heart. Rachel one day said to her husband, Jacob, "Give me children or I die." Life is not worth living without being able to bring children into the world. That was her attitude. Give me children or else I die. And she besought the Lord as well. Leah, who was her sister, said, after God had blessed her with children, said, the Lord hath looked upon me in my affliction. And so she calls it an affliction. And she's not the only one in Scripture. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that in the world in which we live, in the natural scheme of things, it is the desire, God-given desire, to reproduce, to multiply, to generate life, to see life brought into the world. And then I brought out to you the spiritual side of that for the Jewish woman, like Elizabeth. Can I say to you that those of us who are born again, those of us who are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, why would it be any different in our lives? Why would we not have a desire to multiply, to give birth, to give life? Paul, in his ministry, clearly uses the language of giving birth in terms of winning souls or bringing others to Christ. He said to the Galatians, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, that I may present you in Christ, or complete in Christ. So he said, I travailed in giving birth to you in the gospel and sharing with you the gospel, and then I'm travailing again so that Christ be formed in you, so that you become Christ-like. And he said to the Thessalonian church, he said, what is our crown? What is our joy? What is our hope of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of the Lord? And so Paul expressed his heart in this way. He said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they be saved. I could wish myself accursed. So he's expressing as a believer, as one who knows Christ, this inner longing to be fruitful. I remind you tonight that John chapter 15, where Jesus is instructing his disciples before the Last Supper and then his betrayal and subsequent crucifixion, he says to the disciples, now look, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and what? Bring forth fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. He says in chapter 15 and verse 8 that God receives glory from those who are the disciples of Christ when they bear fruit. When Jesus was preaching in Matthew chapter 13, he told that famous parable of the sower. And the sower went forth to sow, and the seed fell on good ground. Some of the seed fell on good ground, and it brought forth 30, and some brought forth 60, and some brought forth 100-fold. So the picture is taking the Word of God and sowing the Word of God, sowing the seed, and it falls on the ground, and not all the ground is receptive and is fertile, but the sower is sowing in hopes that he will get a harvest. He longs to bring forth fruit. Anywhere you go in the world, you will find people discouraged, disappointed, disinterested in barrenness. If a piece of land is barren, nobody wants to buy it. It holds no promise. There is no reason to want it because it cannot profit. It cannot. You cannot produce. You cannot be functional. If a business is barren, if a business is unfruitful, it is soon abandoned. I'm saying to you that there is a misery that is naturally associated with barrenness. And tonight I ask you this question. Are you content as a believer, born again by the Spirit of God, having the Spirit of God in you? Elizabeth was told, or Mary was told, that the Holy Ghost would overshadow her and she would conceive by the Holy Spirit. So what happened in the birth of her who was barren was a result of the Holy Spirit. Now we who are saved are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the agent of conversion. And I'm suggesting to you not that there's a shame tonight in being a barren believer, but that there ought to be a misery. There ought to be a discontentment. There ought to be a dissatisfaction. If I cannot see my life bearing fruit, if I cannot see others responding to truth, or if I cannot see a change in my heart, in my attitude, if I cannot see what is coming out of me becoming different than what used to come out of me, as we've already heard tonight, if I cannot see fruit, there ought to be a misery there. The record of Scripture is that women who were ordained to bring forth children and equipped to do so, God gave them a gift to do so and gave them the capacity to do so, were not happy, were not ready to accept or rest in the situation in which they found themselves when they could not bear children. You remember, don't you? Hannah's weeping and crying before the Lord, and to the point that Eli, the priest, thought she was drunken, crying and weeping. And although Elizabeth is not said to do so in the early part of Luke chapter 1, we read that the angel appears to Zechariah as he ministers, executing the priest's office. And in verse number 12, when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Thy prayer is heard. What prayer? Well, he said, thy prayer is heard, and Elizabeth is going to have a child. She's going to have a baby. So obviously the prayer was that God might bless them with a child. Now they were old in years. Look at verse 7. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. But though much time had passed, they'd never lost the desire. She had never lost that inner longing to give birth, to produce another life, to see someone else brought to life. And of course, in the back of her mind is the thought that maybe if God would give me that child, he would be the Messiah. So let me ask you a question. Is there a prayer being heard in heaven from your lips and from my lips? God, make me fruitful. God, don't let me be barren. God, let me lead somebody to faith in Jesus Christ. God, let me make a difference in somebody's life. God, help me to reproduce what you've done in me, in my children. God, do this in me and do this through me. There ought to be a misery. There ought to be a hunger. I'm not saying you ought to be miserable, but I'm saying you ought not to be content. You ought not to be happy. There ought to be a growing discontent as the years go by. There's a second word. The first is misery. The second word is mark, or marked. Notice the text says, Elizabeth, who was called barren. She was called barren. It doesn't say just that she was barren. It did say that back in verse 7. But she's called barren. In other words, when people talked about Elizabeth down at the marketplace or in the ladies' sewing circle or in the grocery mart, guess what they said? Guess what they knew about her? Guess what she was noted for? She was marked. She was marked because it was the expectation that a woman would bear children. The Bible says that the fruit of the womb is the Lord's reward. And it was seen as a sign of blessing. And if you go back through the Old Testament, whenever there was a barrenness to the womb, it was seen as a mark of judgment. It was seen, whether right or wrong, it was seen as some kind of a testimony that something was wrong. And those who had this, as they called it, affliction, were not happy. And part of the reason they weren't happy is because they were marked and sometimes mocked. Because they did not have children. They were barren. Somebody knew. Somebody talked about it. And so they were marked people. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 14, God says, "Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle." In other words, again, God's saying, when you're obedient and I'm blessing you, there won't be barrenness. So imagine you are, as Elizabeth was, if you go back again in Luke chapter 1, verse number 6, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Sound like pretty good folks to me. But what was known to be often a testimony of the withdrawal of God's blessing was barrenness. And so she's marked by this barrenness. By the way, on the opposite side, if you were fruitful and you multiplied, it was considered a mark of health and a mark of blessing. And you were marked as one who had favor from God. Again, the fruit of the womb is His reward. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 26, when God spoke of Israel in the promised land, He said, "There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land." That was the promise of His blessing. So if you had no offspring, if you had no children, it was a mark upon you, whether justified or not, but in society it was a mark upon you that you didn't have the blessing of God in your life. I'm going to ask you a question. What are we known for as a church? What do you want to be known for? I don't want to be known as a Christian or as a church that brings forth no fruit, that is barren, that has no capacity to reproduce. I don't want that testimony. I want, and therefore comes the misery or the hunger or the prayer or the earnest desire for God's blessing. I'm going to give you one more word. Miracle. Miracle. Barren. She was called barren. Barren, that's misery. Called, that's marked. But the Bible says she was called barren. And what God told Zacharias is, "I'm going to do a miracle. She is going to have a child. And Mary as well is going to have a child." Now, Elizabeth was much older in years, but God does a miracle. And it's interesting to me that as we progress through the Bible, and I'm not sure I understand it, just interesting how God works. But Sarah was Abraham's wife. She was barren. And then God miraculously opened her womb, gave her the capacity to conceive and bear a child, and she gave birth to Isaac. Who was Isaac? He was the promised seed. Isaac's wife, Rebekah, was barren until God intervened in her life and miraculously gave her a child, opened her womb, says the scripture. And she gave birth to Jacob. And Jacob was the progenitor of the 12 tribes of Israel. and indeed became known as Israel by God's designation. Rachel, Jacob's wife, was barren. And God miraculously, in answer to Isaac's entreating the Lord, gave her a child. His name was Joseph. And Joseph was a provider for the 12 sons of Israel and the nation of Israel during a time of national famine. He was a savior, a deliverer. Manoah's wife was barren. And God chose to open her womb, and she gave birth to a deliverer, a judge of Israel, Samson, the protector of his people. Hannah was barren and wept and cried and prayed before the Lord and promised to return to the Lord the seed that he would give her. And she gave birth to Samuel. And everybody in Israel trembled at the presence of Samuel. And none of his words did fall to the ground. He became one of the great servants of God. And now Zacharias' wife, Elizabeth, was called barren. But God miraculously opens her womb and gives her the capacity to bear a son. And it's John, the forerunner of Jesus, the preacher of righteousness, preparing the way for the coming of the Son of God. Can I tell you tonight, there is no doubt about it, scripturally speaking, that God knows what to do with a barren womb. God knows how to open a barren life. God knows how to bless the barren soul who hungers to bring forth fruit. And I'm pleading with you, church, never give up in your prayer. Never give up in your effort. Never give up in your desire. Never give up in sowing the seed. By the way, the only one was Mary, who was told that the Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and that which is born of thee is born of the Spirit of God. In every other case, the barren woman was still receiving seed. So in other words, they were still trying to have a child, still trying to bear fruit when God decided to open the womb and allow that fruit to be born. So we ought not to stop sowing the seed. We ought not to stop praying. We ought not stop doing our part, but recognize that every new birth is a miracle. It's a miracle of God when a soul is born again. But God uses human instrumentality to take the word, which is the power of regeneration, and give it to the sinner. And it pleases God in the time, and who knows, it may be just one child, it may be just one convert that you and I lead to Christ. But every one of these cases where we're introduced to a barren woman and God opens the womb and answers to their desire becomes a great leader, becomes a savior, becomes a judge, becomes a deliverer. And who knows who God might give us as a small church here in Hamilton that might impact Canada for Christ, that might deliver our city, that might deliver our nation, that might be used of God as a mighty voice. Who knows? It's not of us. It's all of God. It's God's anointing and God's power. And you and I are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we can reproduce. We can see souls saved. And if we're not seeing souls saved, if we're not seeing fruit born in our ministry, we should not be satisfied. We should be emulating the example of these who longed to give birth, who longed to be fruitful in life. And we should recognize that God determined that we should be fruitful. I close with this thought from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Peter talks about some things we need to add to our faith. And he lists all these things. Add to your faith this, and then add to that this, and add this and this. And he said, then he says, if these things be in you, They will make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, we are growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If the church is doing what it should do, if the preacher, if the pulpit is doing what it should do, we're growing in the knowledge. But are we barren and unfruitful in our knowledge? If we're adding to our faith, if we're growing every day, if we are working at it, then the Bible said we need not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what John said? Or no, it was Jesus that said it. Jesus said one day that the Jews were saying, hey, we have Abraham as our father. You know who you're talking to? Abraham's our daddy. And you know what he said? He said, did you know that God is able of these stones? And he pointed out the rocks. He said, God is able of these stones to raise up children. He said, it's the work of God. If God is able to raise up children of stones, and that wasn't John, that was Jesus who said that. Jesus, who is God, come in the flesh. God is able of these stones. Could he not raise up children from you? Could he not raise up children from me? Could he not do what he has commanded? If he's called us to go and preach the gospel, if he's called us to win people to Christ, to reach the world, to reach sinners, then can God not do what he's designed us to do? Sure he can. You know, you look at a stone can't talk. You feel like, well, Pastor, I'm never going to be able to lead anybody to Christ, never be fruitful in that area because I can't talk. Neither can a stone. But God could raise up children from a stone. Right? A stone, not intelligent, doesn't know how to deal with people, has no soul-winning courses, no child-bearing capacity. But it's all about the miracle working power of God. We don't have to be barren. Sadly, we often are, but we need not be. So let's not be satisfied. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to cry. Let's continue to entreat the Lord. And it may just be that he who has commanded us to bear fruit and ordained us to bear fruit will look at the desire of our heart and will do as he said, blessed are they who hunger, they shall be filled. Open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. So let's determine as a church in this year to just be dissatisfied with barrenness. Not dissatisfied with God, dissatisfied with barrenness. All of these people that we mentioned, these ladies, continue to serve God. But they weren't content with their inability to bear children. And I'm suggesting to you, we ought not to be content with our inability to bring forth fruit for God's glory.